CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's no secret that the Trump administration has a hardline stance on immigration. In the past 18 months since President Trump's inauguration, there has been a visible escalation in enforcement. Immigration advocates are now raising concerns about a new initiative designed to drastically expedite deportation hearings. Courts across the country started rolling out mega masters that bring in as many as 100 immigrants into court proceedings at the same time. In a statement from the Department of Justice to CAP Radio, it says that, quote, reducing the immigration court backlog remains one of the highest priorities for this administration. The Justice Department is restoring integrity to our immigration system by hearing cases fairly, expeditiously, and uniformly in accordance with the law, adding that this is in response to the Biden administration's immigration policies. But this new tactic is raising concerns about due process and access to legal representation. CAP Radio State House politics reporter Gerardo Zavala went to a recent hearing inside Sacramento's John Moss Federal Building and joins us with how this is unfolding in Sacramento. Hey, Gerardo.
Hey, Vicky.
So before we get into the new way immigration court hearings are being held, just give us a breakdown of how they typically used to work.
So the hearings we're referring to are actually these master calendar hearings, and they're typically the first court appearance in an immigration case. It's when respondents are told their rights. It's when judges have an opportunity to confirm basic information about their backgrounds. But it's also when immigrants are asked if they admit or deny any allegations listed on their notice to appear document. Unlike criminal court, these hearings typically handle multiple cases at once. And an immigrant advocate I spoke to told me that a one-hour docket in Sacramento, you know, before this usually has between 15, maybe 25 respondents. And that's just scheduled, right? Not all of them show up. And that's pretty typical of most immigration courts across the country, according to the experts I've spoken to.
Okay, so that's a master calendar hearing. So what exactly are mega master hearings?
I will say that that's not a formal legal term. It's just a label being used by attorneys and advocates. But as you said, there's still master calendar hearings. They can have as many as 100 people in a single proceeding. And yeah, it's just adding a lot of turmoil to an already strained system.
Yeah, given that like other presidential administrations have ramped up deportations during their time, I think of the Obama administration, the ACLU actually came down on President Obama for the number of deportations during his term. So how common are these mega masters? Have these types of hearings been done before?
They haven't. And I think that's what why so many people are saying it's, you know, it's an unprecedented tactic. We have seen, as you mentioned, other administrations do other tactics to, you know, meet the same goal. But this just rolled out across the country last week. There were a few other courts I know that were doing it before, or I think they were testing it. But this is now happening, you know, here in Sacramento, every other immigration court in the country. So the impact of that, you know, is barely, you know, visible. So in the next coming months, we'll really see what that impact is.
Yeah, and including here in Sacramento, and you went to one of those hearings. So the Justice Department oversees immigration court cases, and we, as I just laid out a statement from the DOJ, a spokesperson. They say that they're looking to address an immigration court backlog by hearing cases, quote, fairly, expeditiously, and uniformly in accordance with law. What else did you learn about why the federal government made this change?
Yeah, and that court backlog is a big part of it. It's currently sitting, I think, well over 3 million pending cases. And expediting those cases does seem to be the goal, especially as the DOJ is receiving pressure from the Trump administration to increase deportation orders. And I also reached out to the Executive Office for Immigration Review, which oversees the courts. A spokesperson for them told me in an email that delaying these court cases actually hurts immigrants with meritorious claims and the American public who wish to have those who entered illegally removed as quickly as possible. They're also currently adding more judges to replace the dozens that they've fired since Trump took office, which the EOIR says will speed up the process even more. However, as I've spoken to you about in the past, there are concerns that these replacement judges, many of them former military judges, have little to no knowledge of immigration law or the immigration court system.
Okay, so that is what the government is saying. That's their perspective. How are immigration lawyers reacting to this change?
Most of them are concerned. It was already difficult for the number of immigrants entering the courts to find an affordable attorney prior to these mega masters. Greg Chen with the American Immigration Lawyers Association says it's practically impossible for many, if not most, to find one now.
It's going to make their situation greatly, incredibly unfair, and possibly send people back to circumstances that could be dangerous for them, especially for people who are facing persecution, asylum-type cases, or people who need humanitarian protection.
He also says this speeds up the Trump administration's efforts to issue more deportation orders by having even more people plead to whatever charges on their notice to appear document.
As a result, many people who do not understand how these proceedings will affect their legal rights or their legal case are going to make decisions very quickly, and it's going to make the process exceptionally unfair.
So you attended one of these mega master hearings last week in Sacramento. How would you describe the proceedings?
It was really cramped. So I think 30 people showed up on a docket that had 45 people scheduled. Extra chairs needed to be brought in to actually accommodate some of the immigrants. And I'm not sure how they would have actually fit all 45 if they did attend. There was also a lot of confusion, largely because the Spanish translator in the court was actually there through Zoom. So she had a pretty rough connection, and multiple times I looked over and saw like confused faces among those who were in attendance, you know, just trying to understand what she was saying. It also felt rushed. The judge quickly called families and individuals over, asked them if they understood their rights, and then told them that the U.S. government is seeking to deport them. Some people spoke up saying they were confused. Some said they had documents they wanted to turn in. None of them, at least that I saw while I was in there, had an attorney representing them.
Well, you were able to speak to one person, an asylum seeker named Jose, and we're only using his first name. What's his story?
Yeah, so he was part of the proceeding I sat in on, and like others, he didn't have an attorney, so he was there representing himself and his two daughters. Here's what he had to say when I asked him about why he fled his home country.
No, pues a mí me atacaron y pues yo no, y más por mis hijas pues que estoy aquí, que porque pues a ellas también, enfrente de ellas la atacaron, me atacaron a mí enfrente de ellas y no quiero que le pase nada malo a ellas, y por eso estoy aquí.
So he's saying that he was attacked in front of his daughters while in his home country of Mexico. He came to the United States because he feared for his family's safety.
So how did he handle the mega master hearing?
Like others, he was very confused. His court hearing had been pushed up several days with little notice, so he didn't really have much time to accommodate the change. He was also surprised that he was being asked to come back in 2 months for his next hearing. You know, most of the people he's spoken to who have also gone through the court system have received, you know, follow-up hearings up to 2 years away, maybe more. So once he had time to process what he was told and that he was at risk of being deported in August, he told me he was scared.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio State House politics reporter Gerardo Zavala about a recent nationwide change to immigration court proceedings, increasing the number of cases that are heard at the same time. They're called mega master hearings, and they're also taking place here in Sacramento. So also in attendance at last week's hearing were immigrant advocates. So who was there? How are they responding to this change?
Yeah, NorCal Resist volunteers have been present for most court proceedings for about a year now. They're a nonprofit mutual aid organization based here in Sacramento, and they offer support to immigrants going through deportation proceedings. Programs director Giselle Garcia was there speaking with immigrants, including Jose, after their hearing. I was actually there when a Federal Protective Services officer approached Garcia while she was speaking to Jose to inform her that she needed to be on the sidewalk if she wanted to speak with anyone. Mind you, this was outside of the building, at least 20 feet away in a public plaza. I asked if the same rule applied to me as a journalist, and he said no. I spoke to Garcia after that interaction, and she told me that roadblocks like those make it difficult for an organization to provide support at a time when immigrants need the most help they can get.
They're entering a system that they aren't in a position to really ever be successful in.
So as you laid out in Jose's case, as a result of this change at the federal level, some people have seen their hearings pushed up by days, months, even years in some cases. So what effect will this have, these shorter timelines have, on immigrants and their cases?
So one immediate effect that I think I brought up earlier was, and we're seeing this play out now, is a lack of affordable attorneys. And that's only going to be exacerbated as more and more immigrants are being called in at the same time across the entire country. I even heard one family tell the judge that they tried to get an attorney for the proceeding, but they were all either too busy or they denied taking the case. Private attorneys may be the only option, but they can charge thousands of dollars depending on the case.
I mean, you also mentioned that 45 people were scheduled to appear, but about 30 appeared. So that's about 15 who did not appear. What happens to those who didn't show up even though they were summoned?
Yeah, and I will note there were actually two proceedings, each with 45 people. So yeah, 15 didn't show up for the one I was there for. Another 20 didn't show up for the second, right? So I actually spoke to Garcia about this, and here's what she told me.
Those individuals will likely be receiving removal orders because they did not attend. But we don't know how many of those respondents didn't come because of out of fear or because they didn't receive the appropriate notice.
Okay, so that's from NorCal Resist, immigrant advocates. I mean, were you able to learn more about what the consequences might be for those who didn't attend?
Yeah, it's very likely that what she's saying is correct, that they will be removed. The EOIR spokesperson that sent me a statement said that immigration judges can issue deportation orders if respondents fail to appear, if they determine sufficient notice was provided, and that the Department of Homeland Security has established removability. Those decisions are being made by judges who have seen their colleagues be fired en masse for being too lenient on asylum cases and for not issuing enough deportation orders.
So what happens next for Jose and other immigrants in his situation who attended this large-scale hearing? Do they get individual hearings at any point after this?
Not very likely. Everyone who got called up that day received the same follow-up hearing in August, so it's possible that we'll see the same rush process play out then. That means Jose and the others have about 2 months to find an attorney and get all their documents in order. These cases are extremely difficult to win, though, so even with an attorney, that might be almost impossible. And while Jose told me he has hope he'll be able to find one by then, he knows there's not much he can actually do.
No, pues... a llorar nomás, porque escondernos pues no van a hallar. Tienen nuestra dirección, tienen todo. No nos podemos esconder ni nada, porque ya tienen nuestra dirección.
So what he's saying there is that all he and his family could do is cry if they're denied asylum because the government has their address. They know everything about them. They can't hide.
And everyone's immigration story is unique, and if they're seeking for asylum like Jose, but if they're not going to have an individual hearing, they probably won't be able to share their individual circumstances to what brought them to this country and why they're appealing for asylum.
They can. However, again, without an attorney, it is a very complicated process. And as I mentioned, even before, they have to go through a translator in many of these cases. So there is a lot of nuance lost there. There's a lot of jargon being spoken to that, a translator can't really explain very well.
And technical issues, too, if it's on Zoom.
Exactly. So, yes, they can, but there are all these roadblocks, especially without an attorney, that just make it super difficult, if not impossible, to actually have their asylum case, accepted.
Gerardo, thank you.
Thanks, Vicky.
That was CAP Radio State House and politics reporter Gerardo Zavala talking about a recent nationwide change to immigration court proceedings, increasing the amount of cases that are heard at the same time in so-called mega master hearings. We have a link to Gerardo's reporting on our website. Up next, thousands of California utility customers in the Lake Tahoe region will need a new power supplier next year. We'll learn about the search for new energy across state lines, the concerns from residents over potential rate hikes, and the role of data centers in this transition. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.